harvesting cotton, selling cotton, clearing every bit of land that you possibly could so that you could grow more cotton. And cotton was very good to Alabama, led for a prosperous life for a lot of the farmers of that particular state. However, King Cotton in the early 1900s, King Cotton was dealt a deadly blow in the American South by a little beetle no bigger than the fingernail on your little hand, known as the boll weevil. We got a nice picture of a boll weevil for you there. One website I consulted this past week described the boll weevil in the following words. The boll weevil is a legendary pest, one of the all-time greats on the list of most feared insects in the agricultural world. And indeed, the farmers in Alabama needed to fear the boll weevil. In 1915, as the boll weevil moved into Alabama, 60% of the cotton crop was destroyed. And although farmers did everything they could to eradicate the boll weevil, spraying, burning, whatever they could, the next years were even worse, resulting in near total crop loss. Being farmers and being from Alabama, these folks weren't about to give up. And so they did battle with the boll weevil. And actually, that battle has continued on through this past century and into the early parts of this century as well. The boll weevil is still being fought, but not nearly with a lot more success than it was in years past. But in Alabama, about 100 years ago, they battled the boll weevil everywhere, but in an area of Alabama known as Coffee County. The town seat is a little town by the name of Enterprise, Alabama. In Coffee County and Enterprise, Alabama, they decided not to battle the boll weevil, but rather to plant something the boll weevil didn't eat, namely peanuts. Peanuts proved so hardy, growing so well in the southern soil, and the desire for peanuts, the market for peanuts, proved so great that very quickly the farmers in Alabama were able to overcome the loss that they had in the cotton crop. And growing peanuts, they became extremely prosperous to the point where in the late 19-teens, they had become the peanut capital of the country and of the world. Since that time, peanuts have rivaled cotton as a major crop in Alabama. And since that time, there has been a monument that has stood in the town square of Enterprise, Alabama, and it's a monument, believe it or not, to the boll weevil. This is what it looks like. We have a gracious Grecian woman with her hands over her head holding high, probably about 2 foot across bug. And there's a plaque that stands next to this particular very odd statue that reads as follows: in profound appreciation of the boll weevil and what it has done as the herald of prosperity, this monument was erected by the citizens of Enterprise, Coffee County, Alabama. What they saw in the boll weevil was an evil that brought a greater good. And I share with you this story of cotton and boll weevils and peanuts this morning to serve as a reminder to us that those things which bring disaster and destruction into our lives often, in the long run, bring greater benefit than we can possibly imagine. That particular truth is demonstrated in our story today as we continue our look at the unknowns of the Bible, and we come this morning to a man by the name of Ittai the Gittite. Now, in Ittai's story, we have an opportunity to gain new insight into the events of our lives, especially those events of our lives that are difficult, and yet God works in and through those events. Before we read our text for this morning, I want to set the stage, and Tim's our reader, so I'm going to invite him to come on up if he would. But for some time now, David's son, Absalom, has been currying favor with the people of Israel, trying to convince everybody he talks to that he would be a better king than King David. And Absalom has been so good at this that he has talked several powerful people into joining his side and into joining him in his overthrow of his father's kingdom. And he has now mustered enough support to threaten King David. It's at this point that we hear the words of our text, words of God, words from the book that we love.
2 Samuel 15, verses 13 through 22. A messenger came and told David, "The hearts of the people of Israel are with Absalom." Then David said to all his officials who were with him in Jerusalem, "Come, we must flee, or none of us will escape from Absalom. We must leave immediately, or he will move quickly to overtake us and bring ruin on us and put the city to the sword." The king's officials answered him, "Your servants are ready to do whatever the Lord our king chooses." The king set out, with his entire household following him, but he left 10 concubines to take care of the palace. So the king set out with all the people following him, and they halted at the edge of the city. All his men marched past him, along with all the Kerethites and Pelethites, and all the 600 Gittites who had accompanied him from Gath marched before the king. The king said to Ittai the Gittite, "Why should you come along with us? Go back and stay with King Absalom. You are a foreigner, an exile from your homeland. You came only yesterday, and today I'm going to make you wander about with us when I do not know where I am going. Go back and take your people with you. May the Lord show you kindness and faithfulness." But Ittai replied to the king, "As surely as the Lord lives, and as my lord the king lives, wherever my lord the king may be, whether it means life or death, there will your servant be." David said to Ittai, "Go ahead, march on." So Ittai the Gittite marched on with all his men and all the families that were with them.
This is the word of the Lord. Now, as we take a look at the story of Ittai the Gittite this morning, what we find first of all is that Ittai is a friend in need. The old saying goes like this: a friend in need is a friend indeed. And as we turn to King David in our story for this morning, we find David definitely in need, and even more definitely in need of a friend. We are told as he flees from Absalom, as his own flesh and blood seek to kill him, in 2 Samuel 15, verses 17 and 18, that David pauses on the outskirts of the city to watch the people that are with him file by. Now, whether David does this to make sure that none of those he cares for are left behind or forgotten, or whether David is doing this in order to count his military might as they pass by, we're not sure. But as David stands there and watches those who are following, those who are with him come by, along comes Ittai, the Gittite, and the 600 that are with him. Now, we know very little about Ittai. In fact, what we know about Ittai is pretty much contained in what David says to him in our text for this morning in verses 19 and 20. Listen again to what David says. "Why should you come along with us? Go back and stay with King Absalom. You are a foreigner, an exile from your homeland. You came only yesterday, and today shall I make you wander about with us when I do not know where I am going? Go back and take your people with you. May the Lord show you kindness and faithfulness." Now, what we learn about Ittai from these words, and again, this is about all we know about Ittai, we learn, first of all, that he's not from the people of Israel. He's identified as a Gittite, which literally means that he's a person from Gath, which means that he and those who are with him are Philistines. Let that word settle in for a little bit if you've spent some time in church. They're Philistines. The second thing we learn about Ittai from David's words is that Ittai seems to have fallen out of favor in his homeland. David refers to him in verse 19 as an exile from your homeland. For some reason, one reason or another, Ittai has been kicked out. He's not allowed to return. He's an exile. That's a very powerful word that means someone who's no longer in their home territory and they can't go home. And thirdly, what we know about Ittai from David's words is that he's only recently arrived in David's service. David says in verse 20, "You came only yesterday." Now, this is likely a figure of speech. I don't think David is saying, you know, in the last 24 hours you arrived. He's just saying, you've come fairly recently. You're not a long-term person here in this area. You're not a long-term person in relationship with me. And so we have Ittai, a foreigner. We have Ittai, a man who has only been around for a very short time. We have Ittai, who has no close ties, no ties of kinship, no ties of relationship, no ties of necessarily service to David. It's also apparent, and some scholars are pretty clear on this, that Ittai and his men were probably mercenaries. That is, they were soldiers, they were foreign soldiers whose services and loyalty were for sale to the highest bidder. So if indeed Ittai and his men were mercenaries, it would make sense for them to remain in Jerusalem because Absalom, notice how David calls him King Absalom, find that interesting, Absalom's star is rising. Absalom is the one who is coming to the throne on an upswell of popularity amongst the people of Israel. And David's star is descending. And so it makes sense for a mercenary who will often change loyalties, sometimes in the middle of a battle, to say it's time to move to the guy who's winning. Yet, if Ittai is a mercenary, his response to David is very unmercenary-like. Listen to it again. He says the following to David. But Ittai replied to the king, "As surely as the Lord lives and my lord the king lives, wherever my lord the king may be, whether it means by life or death, there will your servant be." Pretty profound statement on Ittai's part. Now, a couple of things could be happening here. The first thing that could be happening is that Ittai is a very shrewd customer. And he knows that David is a proven general, that he is, if you will, a military genius. And Ittai knows that even though that this David is on the ropes right now, he's going to come back to power. And Ittai's smart enough not to back somebody like Absalom, who has never really led a battle. He's rather going to stay with David. There's a possibility that there's some shrewdness there. But I think what's more likely is this, is that Ittai admires and truly believes in David. That is, Ittai is loyal. And the reason I say that is if you go to 2 Samuel chapter 18, verse 2, you come to the story of the battle that's going to take place between Absalom and David, the forces of Absalom and the forces of David. And what David does in 2 Samuel 18, verse 2, is he puts a full third of his forces underneath Ittai's command. This isn't something that you're going to do with somebody if you wonder if they're a friend or if they're loyal to you. Rather, David knows that Ittai's heart is with him. Now, the loyalty of Ittai in this situation is both striking and instructive for a couple of reasons. Because, first of all, Ittai is a Philistine, and secondly, he's from Gath. Now, if there were ever any people who were mortal enemies of the Israelites, it was the Philistines. And if there was anybody in the nation of Philistia that had a special hatred for David, it was people from Gath. Do you all remember who else came from Gath? Who came from Gath? You're all shaking your heads. Some of you are going like, looking like, I'm not sure. Goliath, yes. Goliath came from Gath. Goliath, the giant, who was the champion of the people of Philistia. Goliath, the one who comes and defies the armies of God. Goliath, the one who David squares off with, this young boy, squares off with this warrior, and he kills him to the everlasting humiliation of the people of the Philistines. And so Ittai has a double reason to hate David. He has a double reason to welcome an opportunity to destroy this man, to jump sides, to be a part of Absalom's forces, and yet he remains loyal. He remains a friend. Ittai offers his friendship even to the point of pledging his life in service of David, even though David's own flesh and blood, Absalom, is trying to destroy him. Now, at this point, we could stop and we could say, wow, what a guy Ittai is. What an incredible demonstration to us of loyalty and faithfulness and being true to your commitments. And I actually have read some sermons about Ittai the Gittite that go in this direction. But I want to take you in a different direction. And I want to talk about Ittai as a friend, not just a friend in need, but a friend from God. I'd like to suggest to you this morning that Ittai is living proof of God's grace at work in David's life. In Ittai, what we see is the hand of God at work bringing forth benefit from difficulty and pain. I want to back up a little bit in the story of David with you to the time before he was king. And some of you recall that before David was king, he was a fugitive. He was running from the law, so to speak. And the law was King Saul. King Saul, the first king of Israel, knew that David was popular. He knew that David was a man of great resources and a great ability. And Saul was envious of David. Saul saw David as a threat to the throne, and so he wanted to destroy him. And so he made him an outlaw, and he pursued him. And if you know the story, if you read through the majority of the book of 1 Samuel, you'll know that David runs from place to place to place. He goes from one desert hideout to another desert hideout. He goes here and he goes there. No matter where he goes, Saul is after him. He knows that Saul is right behind him. We got that one story where Saul and his men are on one side of a hill and David and his men are on another side of the hill. And they're kind of going, you know, they're doing this thing. They're kind of circling one another. Wherever he goes, David knows that Saul's going to follow, except one place. In his fleeing from Saul, David finally goes to one place he knows where Saul won't follow him. He goes to the Philistines. He goes to the land of his enemies. And he even goes to the town of Gath. Now, the first time David does this, so this is early on in his career when David is getting pretty desperate, he goes to Gath, and you find out in 1 Samuel chapter 18, if you want, or excuse me, 21, excuse me, 1 Samuel 21, that David gets there. They find out that he's David. They find out that he's the one that killed Goliath, and they want to put him to death. And he fakes insanity. Scratches on the walls and drools down his beard. It's an interesting story in 1 Samuel chapter 21. And then he escapes with his life. But then Saul continues to pursue David to the point where David has to go to the Philistines again. So the second time he goes, the people of the Philistines know that he's a hated enemy of Saul, and he receives much more of a warm welcome. In fact, King Achish of Gath welcomes him, gives him his own place to live, and invites him into his life as a trusted servant. The truth, however, even though David gets a warmer welcome in this second time that he's amongst the Philistines, is that he's in exile. He's been kicked out of his home. He's a refugee in today's world. He can't go back. His home, his family, everything has been ripped away from him. He's a hunted criminal, and it's through no fault of his own, only the hatred of Saul. I want you to put yourself in David's position there. You've done nothing. You've become hated. You've done nothing to deserve it. You've been kicked out of your land. You can't go back. You can't go to your family. You can't go to your family gatherings. You can't go to your favorite church. David's church, of course, was the tabernacle of God. He couldn't go there. He couldn't be with God's people. He had to live amongst people who worshiped gods that they were horrible. I'm not even going to start to describe the kinds of things that people did for these gods. So David is away from all of this, and it's not his fault. Can you imagine? Can you imagine how bitter David must have been during his time of exile? Can you imagine how, as he thought of all of this stuff that he had lost, can you imagine how David must have questioned God in his love? Like we often do when things go bad for us, remember? The first question on our lips when things go wrong is what? Why? Why? Why me? Why now? Why this? What did I do, God, to deserve this? Almost all of us have said that at one time or another. David's exile amongst the Philistines is amongst the most painful and difficult of his entire life, of his entire career. But his time in Gath, his time among the Philistines, was also a time that he most likely met Ittai. We're told in Scripture that while residing in Gath, Ittai's hometown, David gathered a following, and most likely amongst those who followed him was Ittai. Now, did David think much about Ittai in those days? Probably not, other than, hey, this is a nice guy to know, a nice guy to have around. Obviously, that relationship continued because later Ittai comes to live with David when Ittai can't live in his own country. But I want you to consider the connection with Ittai in light of our text for this morning. If David had not spent that painful time in exile in Gath, Ittai would not have been there when David needed him in his flight from Absalom. Because of his horrible experience in Gath, in exile, David now has a friend in need, a friend indeed, Ittai. And so what we find here is a similar story to the story that I told you at the beginning of this message about the boll weevil and the cotton. The evil of the boll weevil moves into Alabama, and it was terrible. It was devastating. But at the same time, a great good was brought out of that story. By the same token, the evil of David's time in Gath leads to the benefit of Ittai's loyalty and friendship in David's time of need. I read this past week, and I don't want to get into this very far, but I read this past week an interesting comparison between the story of David and Ittai and the story of Naomi and Ruth in the book of Ruth. And how in the book of Ruth you have Naomi, who's an Israelite, who is supported and encouraged, who receives the loyalty from Ruth, who is a Moabite, an enemy of the people of Israel. Actually, David's grandmother, by the way. I mean, you may not know that connection, but Ruth is David's grandmother. But the same kind of thing happens there. where a person in dire straits finds the support of someone who's actually outside the people of God, someone who they have come to know through a difficult time in their life, gives them support and encouragement and strength. Now, when I look at all of this, what this tells me is that our God works in the most surprising ways. And I want you to think about this for a moment. Think about this. One of Israel's greatest enemies, a Philistine, provides David with support and comfort. The king of Israel supplies the king of Israel with support and comfort. That's ironic. And I would suggest to you that only God can do that. Take an enemy and turn them into a friend. Ittai's name, by the way, means near or with me or even timely. Now, at this point, we turn to the question that we've asked on a number of occasions in this series on the unknowns of the Bible, and that is, so what? What does it mean for us? How does this connect with our lives today? Great to know about Ittai, great to know about all these things, but how does it connect with us? I think it connects with us in the reality that our God is a God of love and surprises. As we make note of the fact that God did not abandon David during his time in Gath, no matter what David thought about that, we also ought to make note of the fact that God does not abandon us in our times of heartache and pain, no matter what we might think. It's very easy when we are in a time of difficulty and struggle to think that God doesn't care, that God's not involved, that God is looking someplace else, that he's not involved in my life right now. But in the same way that God used the time of pain in exile to minister to David now in this difficulty with Absalom, so God will take the difficult times of our lives and turn them to our profit. This thought is clearly stated in one of the better known texts of Scripture, Romans chapter 8, verse 28, where Paul, who knew his own share of difficulty and sorrow and pain, writes the following: "We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him or are called according to his purpose." We know that in all things God works for the good of his people. The Heidelberg Catechism, a teaching tool of the Christian Reformed Church, puts it in some equally beautiful language. Question and answer 26 of the Catechism. The Catechism is addressing the subject of the Apostles' Creed, which begins, "I believe in God the Father, maker of heaven and earth." So the question as they engage in a conversation about the Apostles' Creed is this: What do you believe when you say, "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth"? And in part, the answer reads this way: "I trust him," that is, "I trust God so much that I do not doubt that he will provide whatever I need for body and soul, and that he will turn to my good whatever adversity he sends me in this sad world." Did you hear that? He will turn to my good whatever adversity he sends me in this sad world. As we gather here this morning, many of you are bearing burdens. Some of them are burdens that are known by the community, some of them are not. But I'm convinced that as we gather here this morning, a number of you are saying, "Why?" Your conversations with God kind of revolve around why. Why me? Why this? Why now? What did I do to make this happen, God? Maybe your job is in jeopardy. Maybe your health is failing. Maybe you have a relationship that is falling apart. Maybe you've lost a loved one, and that pain is great and deep and full. When we're in those situations, and if you haven't been in one of those situations, you will be. And if you aren't now, I'm guessing that you have been in a situation like that. When we are in those kind of situations, the way we look at the world around us, we say, "There's nothing good that can come from this. Nothing good whatsoever can come from this." Yet what Ittai shows us is that even in such times, God is at work. Ittai reminds us that God is in charge even in the bad times. Even in the bad times. Ittai reminds us that God uses even the worst times in our lives to bless us in the most remarkable ways, the most unexpected ways. Where we see a mess, God sees an opportunity to introduce unexpected blessings into our lives. Now, I'm not saying that'll happen immediately. It often takes time for us to see the work that God does. I love the image that somebody once said. It's kind of like looking at the backside of crochet or something like that, needlepoint. Looking at the backside of a needlepoint, and all you see is all the knots and all the strings hanging, and it looks kind of loose. That's our view. But God's view is on the other side. And from time to time, he gives us a glimpse of the other side. Some of you may know that things for me in my last church didn't end very well. It was a very painful time for me. And it was difficult. And when people would talk to me about it later, I would say, it was awful. I hated it. But you know what? I wouldn't change it for a minute. Because God demonstrated to me through individuals, through proof of what I'd been preaching, that he loves me and that he's there. I wouldn't change it for anything. Now, some of you have been through difficult times. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Others of you, if you haven't been through difficult times, you will. It's just the nature of life. Jesus himself says, in this world you will have trouble. But then he follows that by saying, take heart, I've overcome the world. My challenge for you this morning is this: to be on the lookout for Ittai. When you find yourself in difficulty and trial, be on the lookout for that person or that circumstance or that set of circumstances that God is going to bring about to bless you, even out of the difficult time that you are experiencing. And some of you who have been through the dark times know your Ittai. You know that person. You know that set of circumstances. For others of you, Ittai hasn't shown up yet. But I know this, that Ittai will come. Ittai will come for you because God is faithful. God is at work blessing us even in our darkest days. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. We know in all things, God is at work blessing us, caring for us, lifting us up. And it's my prayer that the Lord will give you the eyes. When you go through one of these dark valleys, when you go through these times like David is experiencing with Absalom or experienced before that in his time in Gath, when you go through those dark times, it's my prayer that God will give you the eyes and the heart to recognize your Ittai when he comes. So that along with David and so many others, you can give testimony. You can give testimony to the God who always loves us with a surprising love. Would you join me in prayer? Father in heaven, we thank you that you are at work in our lives. We know that in all things you work for the good of those who love you. And Father, we confess this morning that there's a lot of times where it's hard for us to see that. To see where you care for us and how you care for us and how you work in our lives. And we want to pray this morning for people who find themselves in those dark times. Members of our congregation, members of our families, maybe neighbors or friends who find themselves in that place where they're not quite sure why and how all these things happen. We pray that, Lord, in your faithfulness, you will bring forth an Ittai for those folks who are in need. And we pray, Lord, that you'll open our eyes to see those gifts that you give to us in the form of an Ittai or a set of circumstances or whatever else it might be, but someone who arises for us, something that arises for us that demonstrates to us that you are in charge, even in the bad times. And Lord, as we remember those individuals, as we remember those circumstances, we ask that you would help us to give testimony, to proclaim the goodness of the God who is always at work, always for our good. in the name of Jesus Christ, who went through hell that we might have life, Jesus Christ, who died that we might live, we pray. Amen.